reminded of when in 1 Kings, I think it was 1 Kings, let's see if I can find the scripture now. Well, it's when Elijah was, the wind come by and all these things come by, and then the still quiet voice. And, you know, I was hearing the Holy Spirit say, don't underestimate my power in the time of quietness. Because sometimes if there's a lot of noise around, we can't hear God. But it's in his quietness that he can begin to speak to us. Amen. Father, thank you for this word that you have laid up on my heart to minister to the people today. And we speak, Jesus, over every situation, over every circumstance, over our thoughts right now, Lord, that we will be able to hear from you in this message today, God. In Jesus' name, and the church said amen. Today we're going to be talking about conquerors and overcomers. Conquerors and overcomers. Amen. The Lord has given you a land of good things. Yes, even a land of good and plenty. And now is the time to press in and make them yours. You will know his power. You will know his glory. With high praises of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand, which is a proclamation of my word, you will march right on to the victory side, right into the land of good and plenty. And in his kingdom you will shine, casting away darkness as you march forward as one that overcomes as a conqueror. Amen. There is a promised land for our taking. But like, you know, Joshua, we have to be of good courage. Meditating on the word. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. We have to be a conqueror. Know that we are a conqueror. Know that we are an overcomer. Amen. 1 John 5:4 tells us, you see, every child of God overcomes the world. Anybody here a child of God? Amen. Okay. Every child of God overcomes the world. For our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. So who are the world conquerors defeating his power? Those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So, right here it tells us, every child, in order to be a child of God, you have to believe that Jesus is what? Is the Son of God. So if you believe that, then guess what? You are a world conqueror defeating his power over you. And we know the world meaning in that scripture is a system that's eliminated from and opposed to God living in the power of the evil one, as Pastor was saying before. We live in a godless society that is trying to conform us to his way of believing. And as he says, they pass laws and things like that to satisfy what they believe. And it makes them feel like they are right because they passed a law saying, let's do this. So if the law passes, we're thinking, okay, this must be the way that we should go. So we're called to be overcomers. And, you know, in this text, we know as Christians, we're given a lot of names. We're labeled a lot of names, good names. I mean, there's, you know, people the world calls us fanatics and all this. But I'm talking about as Christians, in the Word, we're given a lot of different names. And one of the names that we're given is overcomers. We've been labeled as overcomers. And so we are called to be overcomers in this life. So therefore, we are anointed to be overcomers and to conquer. Amen? So to be labeled as an overcomer, though, comes the other part. When he says that you're an overcomer, then there's got to be something there to overcome. So there has to be something or some things to overcome in this life now. Because he doesn't say something without a cause and effect to it. Jesus says in John 6:33, he tells us what are the things we're overcome. In 16:33 it says, in the world, in this godless system, in this world that's opposed to God and the truth of the word, lying in the power of the evil one, you have tribulation, trials, distresses, and frustration. Wow. Another translation reads, for in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. It's not a matter of how or what, but it's a matter of when. So tribulation from the Greek word, though, means this. It's Thilipsis, I think it's the way it's pronounced, T-H-I-L-P-S-I-S. And it means pressure. It means oppression. It means stress. It means anguish, adversity. Let me go on. Okay. Affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Has anybody ever felt like that at one time or another? That's what tribulation is. So he says, you're in this world. You're not of this world, but you're in this world. So you're going to experience these things at times. Because he says you're an overcomer. So imagine placing your hand on a stack of loose items and manually compressing them. That's what that word means. That is Thilipsis or tribulation, putting a lot of pressure on that which is free and unfettered. Who the Son has made free is what? Is free indeed. Why do we experience this thing in this world that wants to compress us and oppress us and cause anguish? Yes. To get us to quit, give up, to discourage us. Ephesians 1:7-8 in the Message Bible says, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people. The devil is trying to convince you that you are not free. So that's why all these things come along in our lives. Free of penalties, punishments, chalked up by all of our misdeeds, and not just barely free, abundantly free. It's like you are a well person that the devil's trying to convince you that you are sick. If you have symptoms in your body, don't say it's my symptoms. Don't say that it is my headache. But confess what the word says. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Yes, I have a headache, but it's not my headache. The devil's trying to put this headache on me to pressure me, to convince me, to discourage me, to cause anguish. After Jesus says in the world that which opposes God and all he stands for, you have tribulation, pressure, and all these things. And then he has the audacity to go ahead and say, but be of good cheer. Wow. So after he tells us all these things, he tells his disciples all these things that we're going to experience in this world, he goes on to say, go ahead and be of good cheer. Go ahead and be of good cheer. In other words, take courage, be confident, be certain, and be undaunted. Be of good cheer. I feel like I'm going to quit breathing because I'm pressured, I'm anxious, I am depressed, I'm oppressed. But go ahead and be of good courage. Go ahead and be of good cheer. Why? Because this too shall pass. Amen. This too shall pass. You need to look at your neighbor and tell them, whatever you're going through at this moment, this too shall pass. So go ahead and be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world, Jesus says. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Jesus is our example to follow. So he's saying this, walking this earth. Not as a Jesus that we think he is, you know, the supernatural being from God. But he said he came to earth as a man going through the things that we go through. So he's saying, listen, I've overcome the world. I've deprived of its power to harm you and conquered it for you. And because I have, you can too. The price for our victories to overcome has already been paid for. So it's nothing that we have to do to try to earn it, to pay for it, or to make it happen. It's already happened. And the things that come along in our life is to get us to quit. It's to discourage us to the point of giving up or thinking that we've done so much and it's never going to be any better and all those things. The God of this world through the world's godless system is what is applying pressure to get you to quit and give up. And if you give in to the news media, you're going to think that maybe you're wrong and they're right. But I want to tell you, it's not the people that are talking the loudest that are right. Because remember what I said? Sometimes it's in the stillness and just being quiet that God shows up and shows his power. Because you never know what he's doing behind the scenes. And I will tell you right now, he's working behind the scenes of some of your lives right now. And you're at the point of wanting to quit and give up. And God says to you, don't you dare, because the next step could bring you into your victory. Amen. So don't listen to the loudness of people's voices sometimes. The minority of the people that are shouting the loudest. It doesn't mean that they're right. It just means that they're trying to convince themselves they're right. The voice of the overcomers are led by the who? By the overcomer of the world which he has already conquered, which is who? Jesus. So the enemy does not want you to know how free you really are. That's what's so awesome about the grace message. And that's why the enemy wants to come in and get people all confused about it. Because once you learn about grace, it frees you to be who you are in Jesus. I can do anything I want to do, but I choose not to do anything I want to do. So because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar. So who are the world conquerors defeating its power? Those who believe, the word says, those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Those are the ones that are defeating, that are world conquerors, overcomers. It's those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. So we don't believe this, then our faith is of no value. If we don't settle this in our heart, then our faith is of no value. Well, the scripture we just read tells us, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. So we overcome this life through a position of victory, not one in defeat. When you are praying about something, don't go through it in it that God might, or maybe I need to do something to cause it to happen, but go into it as victory. At a victory standpoint, not as a defeated standpoint. Because if you don't, you're already defeated. Because we already what? We already have the victory. So Amplified Version says, or translation of 1 John says, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. Is victorious over the world. It did not say you might be, but it says is. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. Victorious is to be an overcomer. Victorious is to be a conqueror. So if you're born again, you are victorious over the world and its way of thinking. We are in this world. We abide by the laws that govern this world to the point that it overrides the truth of this word. And that's when we take a stand. It says you can shout all you want to, make all the laws you want to. But if it's contrary to the truth of this word, I don't apologize, but I can't go with you on it. And that is, as Christians, that is the stand that we have to take. So Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed or don't pattern to the pattern of this world. In other words, a pattern is something you lay down and you go by. Don't cut your life out of the pattern of this world and how you should live. So it says, do not be conformed to this pattern of this world. But what do? We are transformed by the what? By the renewing of our mind. Because what we believe is going to begin to carry out in our lives. And if you believe that you are a loser, that you are not a conqueror, that you are not an overcomer, guess what? That is how you're going to begin to act. So we transform our mind by what? Because the Bible says, you know, the word, as a man, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. So that's what begins to happen. And that carries out in our lives. So an overcomer is the one who conquers. The one who conquers is an overcomer. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things. What things? Whatever things that you need to conquer. Whatever things that you need to overcome. Nay, in all these things, we are what? We are more than. More than. Through him, more than conquerors. Through him. It's all about him. Through him that loved us. Now, conquer in the Strong's Concordance is the Greek word hypernikao, I think is how you pronounce it. It's N-I-K-O. And actually, that's where the brand of Nike comes from. When you go back and study the history of Nike, that's where they got the Nike word. Just thought I'd throw it there. And it means, this word in the Greek means to be more than a conqueror, to gain a surpassing victory. So maybe you need to go buy a pair of Nikes and put the devil's under my feet. I don't know. On some duct tape or something. So I noticed that the conqueror comes from the Greek word, N-I-K-O, as we just said, which is translated 24 out of 28 times as overcome. So when you see the word conqueror, think of overcomer. When you see the word overcomer, think of conqueror. They go together. So what does the word have to say about being an overcomer? Just what we read earlier. Read it again. You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is a victorious power that triumphs over the world. So who are the world conquerors, defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 16:33 that I read before, Jesus told us, I've overcome the world, so shall you. A kingdom conqueror and a world overcomer knows that God will bring you the victory to manifestation. And that's what we are believing and aiming for, the manifestation of the victory that is already there. But we get discouraged when it don't happen immediately. And so the devil begins to throw those fiery darts of doubt. Well, maybe I should have prayed longer. Maybe I should have fasted longer. Maybe I should have did this. Maybe I should have that. When you get into that, you're getting into works thinking it's something that you have to do to cause it to happen. He says, believe me, trust me. I've already paid the price for it. All you need to do is believe and trust me. David, let's go to this here about the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But David said, but if I overcome him and kill him, you'll become our subjects and serve us. Now that was a bold statement in David when David said that. And so he says he knew he was not fighting this battle in his own strength, though. David was able to say that because he looked back and he began to see the time that God had delivered him on the backside out of the desert time and time again. So he was able to make that bold statement when he was facing Goliath. So he knew he was not fighting this battle in his own strength. And the moment that we begin to think it's in our own strength, we've already lost the battle. Because it's in the strength that he gives us. He knew in his heart that God would give him the victory. Why? Because he did it before. And God changes not. What he did for the people in the Bible is their examples he'll do for you. And he has done. I see he had done it for a lot of you all. So as you fight the good fight of faith, overcoming adversity, you've got to know that God will give you the victory. And as you have this confidence, as you fight this good fight of faith, know that God is with you every step of the way. And as I said before, he gives you enough light just for the step that we're on. But we want to know the step way out there and what's going to happen. But that's not trusting and believing. He said, you take one step at a time, and I'll give you enough light for the next step. Jeremiah 1:19 says, they will fight against you, but will not overcome you. They will fight against you. The world and its godless system. And those things will fight against you. But he goes on to say, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Wow, what a promise. He said, all these things are going to fight against you. But he says, I've already won the battle for you. I've already rescued you. I've already taken care of you. Matthew 16:18 said, and I tell you that you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and what? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Wow. Upon this rock I'll build my church. You are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm building it upon the rock. I'm building it upon the rock, and I and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So whatever you're experiencing in your life right now, if you're praying for your grandkids or your job or whatever, know that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. We are sure, as sons and daughters of God, that no weapon of the enemy formed against us will prosper. I like that word prosper because one definition means to succeed at reaching its intended purpose. So when you read that scripture, no weapon of the enemy formed against me is going to reach its intended purpose, which is to steal, to kill, and destroy, which is to get rid of me. Maybe not in death to where I go to be with the Lord, but to make me miserable while I'm here on this earth. But the fiery darts that he's throwing at me, Jesus says that you'll overcome them, you will conquer them. And no weapon that he has formed against you, whatever it may be, depression, oppression, anguish, weary, stress, all those things that I read, it's not going to reach its intended purpose of destroying you. We have an inner resource that becomes our outward strength. 1 John 4 in the Amplified Bible says, 4:4 says, little children, you are of God. You belong to him. And have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist. Because he who lives in you is what? Is greater, mightier than he who is in the world. Amen. All those things in the world that are screaming and trying to get everybody's attention. The dictionary says resourceful means having inner resources or imaginative. Someone who is resourceful is capable of dealing with difficult situations. And so I've got good news for you. You have got a built-in resource, and somebody needs to tell somebody it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Because he said, I'm going to go back, but I'm not going to leave you here by yourself to do this thing on your own. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you. So you have an inner resource called the Holy Spirit. And we can put a demand on the Holy Spirit that's within us. So who enables and empowers you to become a conqueror over every adversity of life? He tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God. What does he do? Which always, not sometimes, not maybe, not half of the time, always. Causes us to what? Triumph, to overcome, to conquer in Christ. Wow. So the enemy only has the ability to deceive, accuse, and attempt. Because he cannot be anywhere at all times. Okay? He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent like God. So what he does, remember what I preached about the message about, you could use the word squatter or whatever, you know? They come and they build on your land, they build on your property. If you don't get rid of them, they'll set up and take possession of it. So the enemy sends out his little demons to aggravate and harass you. Jesus took away the power of death, hell, and the grave when he made an open show of them to the devil. The Bible states that Jesus disarmed Satan. That's why he has no power to harm you and all his demons. Colossians 2:15 says, God disarmed. In other words, he took the authority away from him. He disarmed him. He took away from him all the weapons that he can use against you and made a bold display, a public example of them in triumph over them in him and in it, which was the cross. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through what? Or who? Through our Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, back to the verse in Romans 18. Let's go into that a little bit and get what this more than conqueror really means. And all this, that we are more than conquerors. A conqueror, we understood, is one who overcomes, but not just a conqueror. It says that we are more than a conqueror. So when something is more of, that means that it's more of. That means it's additional, it's full. So it comes from the Greek word, as I said before, hooper, nikos, or nikos, the two words formed together. So Paul is putting these two words here together, hooper and N-I-K-O-S. So that's why he's saying that we are more than, because he's adding these two powerful words together. And remember we talked about how the word N-I-K-O-S, word meaning overcomer. So by joining these two words together, he has given us, Paul has given us a powerful statement of who we are in Jesus. But if you don't know who you are, you can never live out who you are. Remember the three W's? Who's, why, and the other W, I don't remember. What was the other W? Who, why, and something else. But it was good. I'll think of it. So the words more than are derived from the Greek word hooper, which literally means over, above, and beyond. So he puts those two words together. So that's why he's able to say you're not just a conqueror, you're not just an overcomer. He's telling us that you are more than. He puts those two words together. So it shows something that is way beyond measure. It carries the idea of utmost, first rate, first class, top notch, greater, higher, better than, superior. That is what resides inside of you. Through the Holy Spirit, we can bring that forth. So he uses the same word to denote what kind of conqueror we are in Christ. We are hooper conquerors. So when somebody asks you who you are in Christ, you can say, I am a hooper conqueror in him. They say, well, what's a hooper conqueror? It's a Greek word for more than, surpasses. I am more than. So he uses that word to give us an example of what kind of victory that we walk in. So no wonder the enemy wants us to keep us depressed and oppressed and anxious and tired and stressed. We've got to continue to remind ourselves of who we are in him, an overcomer and a conqueror. So it's Paul calls us conquerors, and we went through that part. So he joined these two words together, overwhelming conqueror, an enormous overcomer. So that's precisely who we are in Jesus. And we live in a world that wants to take us down to their level, you know. And you've got to make up in your mind that you are already victorious. You are already a winner. So once we begin to understand this, we can no longer look at ourselves as a struggling loser. And we all have things in our life that we're trying to overcome. Amen. But we look at those things that we're trying to overcome and just say, listen, that I am more than a conqueror. I don't know how we're going to get through this, Lord, but you said that I am more than a conqueror, and you're going to show me how to overcome this through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that is the attitude we should maintain in life, in every situation and every circumstance that comes against us. And as Pastor was saying before the service when he was reading the article on Sunday, he said, I've lived by this for the last several years. And if he hadn't, if he wouldn't be here today. Some of you all would be out there spaced out if you hadn't believed the word of God of who you are in him. That you are more than a conqueror. That you are an overcomer. Look at every situation from the standpoint of victory and not defeat. Because he has already paid the price for you to be that way. Amen. Pastor's got something to say.
There we go. I was just going to say that years ago, some of the first teachings I ever heard about being more than a conqueror And well, she did a good job this morning. The only thing I want to say is this. One of the things that I learned when they talked about that, hupo means more than or above. More than a conqueror is one knows that he's won before the battle starts. You got to know that you've won before the battle starts. You can't get in the middle of the battle and say, oh, it looks like we're winning. Because I've been in some battles the last few years when I was in the middle of them, it didn't look like I was winning. But you just got to know that you know. And it helps to be around people that believe like you believe. I know I was blessed when I couldn't believe for myself, my wife believed for me.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Because we know we win before the battle starts.
Right.
You know, that's like going into prayer. You go into prayer with God or to God in the atmosphere of not begging, pleading, or trying to talk God into doing something. You go into prayer and coming into agreement with him. That's what prayer should be, is coming into agreement with what he already says and reminding God of his word. Lord, this is what your word says. So I come into prayer agreeing with your word on what you say about the situation.
I just want to tell everybody the pray for Bradley this week. We're going to Houston. I'm going with him for a checkup. And keep my brother in your prayers. His name's Ricky. He's having a kidney procedure done in Campbellsville the 30th. So if it crosses your mind, just keep him in prayer this week.
Father, we just pray for Ricky right now in the name of Jesus. We speak your word of healing over his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Thank you, Lord, that you have already prepared the way. You already knew this was going to happen, God. And I thank you for just taking care of the situation in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we continue to decree and declare that Bradley is healed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Every fiber of being of his body, every cell is functioning in the way that you have created it to be, Father. We just thank you for a continually good report in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why, who's, and who. That's the three W's. It's always good to have somebody.
I just wanted to say that the world actually applies to this too. The athletes, the good athletes, see themselves doing it and completing. They don't think that they're going to fail. You know, they Arnold Palmer years ago played the course in his head and saw him getting the hole in one or
wow.
That type thing. But if you play it and you see yourself doing that as you think, and that your subconscious does take over when you think about that I'm going to succeed, it takes place in prayer and all your actions, because that's what you think about and what you dream about. Think about how much stress you're under and what the dreams you have versus when you're not stressed and the dreams you have. Compare what your mind's working overtime on.
That's good. Hallelujah. Anybody else got anything they want to say? This is good. Amen. You all have a blessed week.